It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. Hello and welcome. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me in studio today is Nick Cowan.
Hello.
And Clinton Matos.
Hey everybody, what's up?
How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Yeah.
Have a good week.
Yeah. So far, haven't got any complaints.
Yeah, haven't died.
That's always a plus.
We're all here. Everybody's healthy as far as I can see. No one's died.
Wow.
That's a good measure when no one...
Yeah, when no one has died.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast with Clint Glass Half Empty Matters.
That is half full. I could have been like, 20,000 people died last year. Good.
Why would you start off a podcast like this?
I don't know, just let people know I like it.
You're just on imager at the moment. You're not even concentrating on what you're
saying. I haven't.
Well, yes. No, I spent most of the week and the preceding weekend playing a video game.
Yeah.
Called Yakuza Zero. Hey?
Good use of your time, especially because I read your review and you seem to love it.
Oh, it was amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Did you like the review?
Yes.
Does it make you want to play it?
Kinda. I'm a bit burnt out on open world games, but I may give this a shot.
See, things, it's not really an open world game. It has the appearance of an open world game, but essentially what it is a series of corridors. I mean, essentially, like, you've got a city, like a smallish city, and you can run up and down streets and around corners and stuff, but like you don't find yourself driving around like you would say in GTA or Sleeping Dogs or something. So you do most of your running around on foot. It's just really bizarre. Basically, I love this. Someone's parking a car in the middle of our podcast.
Absolutely. So if you hear this, sorry.
It's not even a car. It's a truck. It's like a panel van.
What Yakuza is, basically, you take on the role of two disgraced Yakuza. One of them is Kiryu, and he was charged with picking up some money from somebody who owed his Yakuza family a debt.
As you do.
He beat the tar out of him and took his wallet, and then it turns out that the guy he beat up, and the last time he saw him was alive, is found dead.
Okay.
They blame him for that because he was the last person to see him alive, so they just assume he killed him. And the funny thing about it is that this guy was killed on an abandoned lot that just happens to be the linchpin in a massive real estate deal that several Yakuza houses are vying over.
So, not suspicious at all.
Yeah. So he's basically trying to clear his name and get back into the Yakuza. And then there's Majima, who is another disgraced Yakuza, who basically backed the wrong horse in a war a while back. Had his eye gouged out with a knife for his troubles and was tortured for a year. And now he runs a nightclub in Osaka. And he's trying to get back into the Yakuza as well. And one of his handlers has basically said, well, if you want back in, you have to carry out a hit on this particular person.
Fun for the whole family.
Why is he trying to get back in after he lost an eye?
Because
it's like the best Korean.
Well, because you generally find. Well, I think that the short answer is because
video games.
Okay, but like I suppose what you could also say is that like being in the Yakuza carries quite a bit of clout.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I don't know how much you know about the Yakuza.
The real world Yakuza or the game series or both?
Oh no, the real world Yakuza.
I know it's very scary. To oversimplify it, every time I read something about them, it's just really disturbing. Like, they're a gang, but they have a lot of honor and rules, apparently. But I do get what you're saying, that there is like prestige.
Well, no, but you see, the thing is about the Yakuza, both in the game and out, is that the developers of this game observe and look at a lot of the codes and sort of societal mannerisms in the Yakuza. For example, there's one side mission.
Next law for you. That's quite weird.
There's one side mission where these two guys who are working on a movie set ask you to pretend to be the producer so that the director, when he pitches up, will think he's being taken seriously. And when the director arrives, you have like options. When he goes, hello, you know, you can say, hi, how is it? Or you can say, observe etiquette. Or you can just brush him off. And if you observe etiquette, he does the whole sort of like Yakuza bow. you know, sort of like, you know, so they do observe the customs of it. And there was an article actually for the last time the Yakuza game was released where they actually got some Yakuza to play Yakuza for them. But yeah, that little aside, by the way, is one of the many reasons to play Yakuza 0, because you will have tons of missions like that. Like there's one mission where you have to track down this bully who's taken this. You meet this little kid who's outside a shop, and he's like, you know, he's buying this really popular video game that's selling out everywhere. He gets the last copy, and then some bully beats him up and takes his copy of his video game. So you like, so you run after him. To get the video game back, and you find out after you find the bully that somebody else has beaten him up and taken the copy of the video game, so you run after this guy.
What?
And then he gets beaten up by somebody, and the video game disappears into his back pocket, and then finally you find the final guy in this long chain turns out to be the father of the kid that you agreed to help in the first place. And he was just trying to get the game for his kid.
Video game gang, hot potato.
This is why you should buy all your games online. Digital purchases only, guys. So that you don't get beat up in the street.
You should tell Steam that can be the greeting when you go to store.
You won't get beaten up by bullies when you buy games.
Just show this mission. This ever happened to you? But like, you know, there's loads of other missions like that. Like, you know, you teach a dominatrix how to be more assertive with her clientele. There's a group of teenage girls who are selling their underwear to creeps.
I take back what I was saying about fun for the whole family.
You know, there's one kid who's outside a video arcade, and you tell her to go home, this is a dangerous area, and she won't go home until you go into the video arcade and use like those claw grabber machines to get her a particular toy that she wants. And that's the other thing about like Yakuza, there's so many different things you can do. Like, you can go to the video game and play old Capcom games.
Oh, that's
like
so cool.
Outrun.
I love when they put other games in games.
You've got
to spend 20 hours doing that.
You've got like Mahjong, you've got darts, bowling, you can go dancing. There's a karaoke game. Of course there's a karaoke game.
Of course there's a karaoke game.
There's, what else have you got in there? You've got, as you progress through the game in the later stages, well, not the later stages, but I'd say after chapter 4, chapter 5, somewhere around there, Kiryu starts to become a property baron. You can buy out property and wage turf wars with other property barons. And you can, and Majima, because he runs a nightclub, is responsible for decking out the girls, making sure everything's running properly. And the thing is that all of this stuff earns you cash. And cash is like the most important thing in the game, because it not just buys you like power-ups, and it buys you food, and it buys you property, and it buys you new outfits, but it also allows you to unlock the talent trees and the different sort of fighting styles that you've got as well.
Yeah.
And you literally beat cash out of everyone. Every fight that you have, like if you punch somebody, like they fall on the floor and like loads of wads of notes.
I love that in old GTAs when you used to hit people and like glowing sacks of green pops out of them. They don't do that as well in the new GTAs.
No. Well, I mean, but that's the thing, is that like it's eccentric and it's amazing. There's some people might be put off by it because this is a Japanese game, so it thinks nothing of like wrenching control away from you at certain points. Like, you will sit there and watch a cutscene for a good 5 minutes. And of course, because the plot is so layered, if you skip it, chances are in 2 missions you don't know what the plot is anymore.
Yeah,
all of it's voice acted in Japanese with English subtitles.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I was gonna ask if it had full English acting, because I think it would do it a disservice.
Oh no, it would. I mean, there was a very, very interesting piece that was written, I think it was last year, in Vice. You might be aware that there's this game series out there that originally pitched up on the Dreamcast called Shenmue.
Yeah.
And then Shenmue 2 was, I think it was Dreamcast and on Xbox, the first Xbox.
Yeah.
And no one's seen hind nor hair of Shenmue since then. And loads of people go, oh, Shenmue, it's brilliant. Why don't they make another Shenmue? And I would just say to everybody out there, if you have an itch to scratch in that regard, just get the Yakuza games. It's pretty much the same damn thing.
Yeah.
It's just as weird. It's just as wonderful. It's just as filled with trucks.
Not as this podcast.
No, it's not. The truck is not part of it. There's no driving to do. But yeah, no, it's is very involved. And the thing is, it's like, you know, you sit down to this thing, you've got 17 chapters, God knows how many sub-stories, tons of collectibles. You can waste time in so many different ways. I mean, it took me, I'd say, about 26 to 27 hours to clock it.
Yeah.
But that was, after a while, me just ignoring the side missions, just caning through the main body of the missions. Story. If you decide to rinse this game for everything that it's worth, you'll probably be playing it until winter.
Wow.
And it's very big, very involved, and totally worth it.
Okay.
And also, this is the best time to jump in, because Yakuza 0 is a prequel to all the other Yakuza games, so you don't even need to know the lore of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was also going to ask you that, because there's been a lot of games in the series.
Oh, yeah.
Was even the last Yakuza, wasn't it a zombie spin-off as well?
Oh, well, no. You have the main games, and you have spin-offs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Yakuza 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I think. Yakuza 6 is scheduled for this year, but they're also going to, they're apparently going to remaster Yakuza 1 for this generation as well. So, and they should, in my opinion. It's amazing.
On PlayStation, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Looking here, it says PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3.
What's that, Yakuza?
Yeah, Yakuza 0.
It's more than likely.
Wikipedia is to be believed. That's strange. I thought they stopped making new games except for like FIFA and stuff like that.
Yeah, but this is Sega.
Yeah. something you said, if you want Shenmue, isn't there a new Shenmue coming out this year?
They're crowdfunding it, aren't they?
They crowdfunded it. Again, if Wikipedia is to be believed, December 2017, Shenmue 3 on the PlayStation 4 and Microsoft Windows.
Well, I remember, was it last year? Well, it wasn't last year. It was the year before last when Sony unveiled
the Kickstarter E3
keynote.
August.
I mean, that was just one big fan service after the next, because I think there was a Final Fantasy game that people have been after for years.
Last Guardian.
Yeah, The Last Guardian made an appearance, and Shenmue.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. That's the thing about games, though, is that they're very, well, not very few, I suppose. I think it's the last generation of consoles and the last generation of PC platforms where games actually started to hold up after repeated tries.
Yeah.
You know, for example, like, loads of people go, oh, you know, it was a brilliant game, this. And it's a game that they played in the mid-90s. And then they boot it up and they go, actually, this isn't very good at all, is it?
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Well, some people won't admit that, but they boot up the game like, yeah, it's still as good as I remember. A lot of people say, like, the original Zelda is my favorite game because I'll never be 13 again, because that's when they played it. But yeah, I agree with you. A lot of games, if you go play, there's a lot of emulators on the internet that aren't exactly legal. But sometimes you go back and like, this is a waste of time. Maybe when I'm playing it in the arcade, it was a waste of money too.
Mm.
But yeah, like recent 3D games, like Crysis, the first Crysis, still looks great. That's getting on in age now.
Well, no, but like I said, there are just titles from the last generation that just hold up, you know? I mean, I picked up a free copy with Games with Gold on the Xbox of Dead Space.
Yeah.
And Dead Space still holds up. It's very, very good.
I played that for the first time 2 years ago. I didn't finish it because I hate horror games.
Why did you get it then?
it was really cheap on the Steam sale, and B, a lot of people told me to try it anyway. So like, oh, there's also some action in there. But every time I walk past a corpse, it's like, that's going to come back to life and kill me. And then that happens. That game still has amazing parts where you go out in space and there's no sound or anything.
Yeah.
Fantastic game, not for me though. Kind of like Resident Evil, which we talked about last week. I'm not one for horror.
No.
Anyway, we've gotten off track. Yakuza 0 gets a thumbs up from Nick, yes?
Yes, it does get two thumbs up, actually.
Two Japanese thumbs up.
Do you know what Yakuza means?
No.
893. It's a losing hand in a game of cards.
Okay.
Wait, which cards though?
I have no idea. This is something I pulled out of
just cards.
This is a fact that I picked up in a book by a guy called Caro Greenfield.
Yeah.
He wrote a book called Speed Tribes, which is, if you've ever been interested in Japanese counterculture, that's your primer right there, because it goes through the Yakuza. He looks at the, they call them the Speed Tribes or Thunder Tribe, the Bosozuku, which are basically bike gangs.
Oh, I saw Vice did a documentary on the bike gangs, which is very interesting.
What happens to kids who are unruly and they get sent to reform school, what the reform schools are like. You can have a look at hostesses, exchange students, the cram schools, the porn industry, the music industry, you know. It's a really good read. And if you want something a bit more hard-edged and more Yakuza-focused, there's a fantastic book called Tokyo Vice about a reporter who lived in Japan for years. He was Japan-born, American-raised, so he's fluent in Japanese.
Yeah.
Both sides, he covered that crime beat for
years.
A good few years, and eventually had to leave the country because he wrote a story about one of the heads of the families. Actually, I won't tell you. No, it's really, really good.
Spoilers.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I don't know. Flip, being a report on Japanese gangs.
Well, that's the funny thing about the Yakuza. You know that they're a legal organization, right?
Illegal,
yeah,
like illegal, not illegal. No,
it's like the Rotary Club, basically. if you imagine the way it was described in Tokyo Vice was just like, imagine Goldman Sachs carried Glocks.
Well, I thought it was always like the New York gangs used to own legitimate businesses. Like, what was it, the Sopranos? They used to own the businesses that does the garbage trucks.
Yeah,
I thought it was like that. They're illegal, but they have legal businesses.
Well, no, the Yakuza have almost gone completely legit because the way that they used to make money was they would buy like 1% of blue chip stock in some company or other. Then they would threaten to pitch up and make a stink at the shareholders meeting. And that played on the sort of aspect in the culture of, you know, confrontation is not a great thing. So they were paid by these corporations to stay away from the shareholder meetings. And then, of course, they would just invest that back into the company that they
and then get more shares. Yeah. That's clever.
So I found...
I think we could do something like that here.
It's called crime, Nick. I'm saying it's not...
It's not crime if it's legal.
Yeah.
It's only a crime if you get caught.
So the name Yakuza, meaning Japanese gangsters, comes from 893, which is Yatsu, Ku, and Sun. Sorry about my pronunciation. Name originates from card game, which I won't try and pronounce, which is played with a deck of quote-unquote flower cards, which is a normal deck of cards... where the jacks are removed and the aces are counted as one.
Oh.
So, I don't know if the site's on the level, it's some strange site that looks like it's on the night.
We could probably spend the rest of the podcast just talking about the Yakuza, but you went to a film last week, didn't you?
No, so I was going to preface this by saying, sorry if I get these details strange, or wrong, that's a better
get these details strange.
I'm reading my own review to refresh myself, because I saw this movie about a month before we could actually put the review up. So I wrote the review a few days after I watched it, and now later on, it's a bit fuzzy. I still remember the
gist.
Yeah, the gist. So it's
called, only a month ago.
I watch a lot of movies and I write a lot of stuff. Nick, give me a break. Okay, so it's called The Space Between Us. The premise is that there's the first mission to Mars to colonize it, and the lead astronaut on the mission finds out while they're in the transit there, which takes 7 months, that she's pregnant, and she gives birth on Mars and dies, and now you catch up 16 years later with the sun. And it's kind of a boyhood coming of
age. Is this the prequel to Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, it's not the prequel to The Martian either.
Damn.
It sounds like a young adult novel that got turned into a movie, but it's not. It's very like John Green-esque setting and all of that. And it is very tropey. It is very young adult film-ish. But it's really good because the writing's great, the directing's great, everything about it is really good. It's when, you know, tropes are tropes for a reason because sometimes they make sense.
Well, yeah, don't knock tropes. I mean, without tropes, the Uncharted series of games wouldn't exist.
Yeah. Neither would flip in Star Wars because nothing in Star Wars is original. Anyway.
goodbye, audience. It was nice knowing you.
I love Star
Wars. Clinton.
Whatever.
Did you just say that?
Yes.
I love Star Wars better than anyone.
Name three of their Clinton.
There was a Christmas special, I think, in that one. It's got Gary Oldman. He plays Nathaniel Shepard. He is kind of like the Elon Musk character, who is a privatized space thing. Gary Oldman is Gary Oldman in this. He's very...
How can you say Gary Oldman is Gary Oldman?
He's Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman Gary, is. That's what I'm saying.
Gary Oldman is a character actor who pretty much disappears into anything that he plays.
I'm just saying it's as good as his other roles. I don't think people are going to remember it, especially, I don't think this movie's getting a lot of like hype or attention. So I don't think in like 5 years, when, like, remember Gary Oldman in The Space Between Us? He was really good. But no, he plays like the tortured guy. He wants to go to Mars, but he can't for medical reasons. And he really sells that to you. Like, you only find out he can't go midway through for these medical reasons.
Hmm.
But you can see when he talks about Mars, that it's like kind of a struggle for him. And I think if a lesser actor did that, you really wouldn't tell, like, hey, there's something going on here. But the real star of the show is Asa Butterfield. So he actually played the main character in, what's it called? In one book. I'll look it up in a second.
What book? You played the character in a book?
Yeah. Movie adaptation.
Movie adaptation.
He's actually a fictional book character.
Oh, wow! And they got him to come out of the book.
Yeah, it's like the take.
The world's first imaginative character.
You laugh. When I lived in England, there was a shop near 221B Baker Street, which is where the Sherlock Holmes Museum.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
And there was a sign outside one of these restaurants saying, "So good, Sherlock Holmes would have eaten here." What do you mean if he wasn't a fictional character?
No, maybe Benedict Cumberbatch.
Maybe.
Sorry, he was in Ender's Game, the movie.
Oh, wow. Was he the kid from Ender's Game?
Yep, he's the main character.
So he's a little psycho.
Yes. Right. I don't think...
I have mixed feelings about Ender's Game.
The movie or the book?
Everything about Ender's
and
Game.
And is that because of the author or because of the quality?
That's because of the author.
Okay.
But we'll leave that for another day.
Yeah, so Ender's Game is all right. I mean, it wasn't that good. I think he's much better in this than he was in that. But he really sells it. The best way to describe it is everyone's watched the terrible show, in my opinion, The Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Okay, so you know how...
Do you know you've been compared to Sheldon from The Big Bang
Theory? I don't give a toss. So that's who I'm going to speak about. You know Sheldon, he's supposed to be like an alien character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't understand how people work and everything. This is a better version of that character.
Right.
Because he is raised on Mars by scientists.
Yeah.
And he's never been to Earth. Mm. So when he gets to Earth, because of various reasons, you can tell he's alien, because in a way he literally is. And he really sells that.
Mm.
If there was another character doing this, or a lesser actor, it would have been really cringeworthy. It would have been not convincing. And it would have been like, they're trying too hard.
Because if I remember reading your review, and apparently he essentially, his kind of gateway into Earth has been this kind of, shall we just say, Skype pen pals?
Yeah, so he speaks to a character named...
Which is amazing also, when you think about it. Yeah, he can use Skype to talk to her from Mars, but we can't even talk to each other properly over
telephone. Hello?
This movie starts in 2017, so it's 16 years later. Maybe in 16 years we'll have internet that's good enough to speak to Mars. Anyway, the reason he comes here, did I mess that up? The reason he comes here is that he crashes a moon buggy, and everyone gets scared that he's going like a bit baddie, so they send him to Earth.
This sounds like a sci-fi version of Rumspringer that the Amish do, where they send out their teenagers into the world for the first time, experience the world. It seems like that.
Yeah. All the science fiction elements are very front-loaded.
Yeah.
It's all in the beginning when there's the mission to Mars and everything. But after that, when he gets to Earth, it's more of a traditional movie about becoming a man and everything. It's not a love story. It's not a traditional movie in that sense. I think you should see it, even if you hate this kind of movie. Even if you don't like...
Because it's just a good movie.
Yeah, it's just good.
Mm.
It's just flipping solid.
Not the best film you've seen so far.
Triple X wasn't a good film. It was a good
No,
film.
I'm talking about the film that's out this week on Friday.
Oh, the Lego Batman movie. Yes. I'm so engrossed in The Space Between Us.
You see, all it took was a little bit of that scratching. And
yes. I was
transported back to that.
The embargo lifted.
Was it as good as Warcraft?
Nothing's as good as Warcraft.
At last.
They've got a gun. We'll have a review of the Lego Batman movie on Friday when it releases. The review for The Space Between Us will be below this podcast. Speak about Batman quick.
Yeah.
Fantastic, but not as good as the original Lego movie.
Oh, okay.
The two biggest problems is it's way too fast-paced. It doesn't feel like a 100-minute movie. It feels like a 20-minute cartoon show on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's that fast. They go through everything really quick. Also, there was no reason for it to be a Lego movie. Like, Lego is a toy and a construction thing,
yeah,
the main part of the first movie. It was like most of the part. There was no reason for this to be a Lego movie other than it looks really cool. They use building stuff in Lego, I think, twice in the movie, if I remember correctly. So, don't know why it was a Lego movie. Still fantastic. I don't know why. This is one of those things. If you like Lego, you like Batman, you're going to go see it. Best Batman movie we've had since the Nolan trilogy.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, we haven't had a Batman movie.
Well, we've had Batman vs. Superman.
That's true. But probably not the best Batman property since Nolan.
What do you mean, in terms of film or everything?
Everything.
Well, no, because it's like it's a parody of Batman, basically.
Mm.
A lot of people, if you're a huge fan of Batman and you go watch this is so much, there are so many jokes and references and stuff that a lot of people won't get.
Mm.
Like, a lot of the points in the movies, they have the score from other Batman movies that they've kind of, I don't know if they've remade them or they've just altered them a bit. Like, at the end, you're like, that was from the Nolan trilogy.
Yeah.
I know that. So yeah, it was really good. And one of the best things is that the Bane,
mm-hmm,
their version of Bane is half the one in the Nolan trilogy and half the original one.
Oh, with the Venom.
Yeah, so he's like a really big guy, but he's got the mask and he's got Bane's like really strange.
That was not the time for me about that.
He sounded like the poshest dude.
Hello!
We
give it back to you!
Yeah, it's like, seriously. They also bring in a lot of C-tier villains like Zebra and the Orca and Calendar Man and Condiment Man. You guys are looking at me like I'm making things up. These are real
Batman
villains.
Villains.
The Zodiac, who does like Zodiac signs. Polka Dot, Gentleman Ghost.
Yeah, which also, I don't know, I mean, I completely believe it, because if you dive into Batman through the Silver Age and Golden Age, you'll find that there are tons of villains that, you know, that pitched up, like, for one or two episodes and were never seen again because they just didn't work out. I remember owning a Wizard tie-in comic called The Dark Book, which basically traced the advent of the comic book villain from, like, year dot all the way to now. I mean, like, you know, and it mentions things that you think of and you go, oh, okay, I never really thought about it that way, but now that you said it, it's quite obvious. Like, for example, the Joker, right, like one of the most visually arresting villains ever, essentially was a Dick Tracy villain, if you think about it.
Yeah,
I mean, he would be right at home in Dick Tracy, but no, he's now in a Batman comic. But anyway, they also at the end of the book, they said that they had the Villains Hall of Shame. Some of the worst conceived villains of all time, and one of them was a Batman villain called the Clue Master, which was basically a Riddler knockoff.
Yeah.
Okay, and his whole suit was covered in these glass vials, and they all did different things. Like one exploded, one was nerve gas,
Honey Lemon from flipping Big Hero 6.
Right.
She was the same character.
But this is the thing, it's like, as they pointed out, this is, not only did this get up look very weird, it was also a very bad idea, because if he tripped over it, fallen down, he would have blown himself halfway across Gotham, you know? But yeah, you get really weird villains from the Silver Age.
Right.
Usually they're knockoffs of more successful villains.
Because this is a Lego movie, almost all those strange villains that I just mentioned, you can get them as real Lego minifigures.
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise.
Without spoiling the movie, all the stuff you see in the advertising and stuff you can buy is more in the beginning of the movie, and then something big happens in the middle where there's new stuff. And I'm surprised they haven't made sets of the new stuff. I assume that was to stop spoilers.
Hmm.
And also because they draw in licenses from stuff that isn't DC, which was also a big surprise, but not so much because they do Lego Dimensions, which has looking Doctor.
Well, Lego does everything.
Lego has almost everything. They don't touch a lot of age-rated stuff like
Titanfall
and Halo and all.
Yeah, but my point is, though, I mean, I don't think that there is a massive film franchise, like a global blockbuster franchise, with perhaps the exception of Transformers, that hasn't been turned into a Lego game at some point.
Mm.
Or Lego.
Yeah, again, it's everything that they own, everything that isn't too.
But it's not even stuff that they own. I mean,
you know, Warner Brothers owns Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, I'm sorry, no, Disney owns Pirates. I just mean they don't have the license to make toys.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Well, this is my point, though. So, you know, Warner Brothers is DC, Warner Brothers is... that's Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean. But they're also like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But they've also made Marvel games as well.
Yeah, they do everybody. I think it's really cool. They do, whenever they do a sub-series of LEGO superhero stuff, they do Marvel and DC.
Mm.
So they have this sub-series called Mighty Micros, which are like little cars. And they're like meant for kids and everything. But what's really cool is in that same range, they have Marvel and DC being sold together.
Oh, that's cool.
You don't
have to decide. You don't have to choose an allegiance.
Yeah. So,
which is wrong. Kids should be forced to choose an allegiance from an early age.
He likes DC, but you have to decide. Leave him at the maybe he'll become Robin in a few years.
What's the problem, though? DC fans at the moment, you know, I mean, the Marvel fans are laughing all the way to the bank. Whereas, like, what was the best DC film? Since
this.
The Nolan
this? Series? This is basically a DC film. While we're speaking about DC, one of the jokes right at the beginning of the movie is they're doing title sequences and Batman's beeping over them. And it says, from DC Comics, the house Batman built. Suck it, Superman. That's the only joke I'm going to spoil from the movie, because I still have a lot of them in the front of my mind.
Batman was always pretty funny. I mean...
It's the same version of Batman you saw in the Lego movie.
So it's voiced by Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, yeah.
So it's the same guy who voiced him in the games as well. Did you ever play Lego Batman 2?
No, I only played, what was it, number 3 when they're in space?
Yeah, number 2 was really good. Because you realise that Robin has a massive man crush on Superman and wants to get him involved in all of like what they're doing. Well, we should just call Superman. And like the go-to line for Batman was like, we're not calling Superman.
Well, in Robin's defense, if you had Superman on your team and it was aliens or whatever, you'd probably call Superman. The problem
with, you know, if I've ever got a problem with aliens, that's who I'll call.
If Superman existed, don't get nobody technical. Anyway, the space between us. See it, Batman movie, also see it.
Yakuza, you play it?
Yes.
Seriously, play it. Especially if you, let's just look at it as an investment, $1,000 or $900, or how much it costs these days. But seriously, you will be playing that game incessantly. It's a marvel.
I think that's all the time we have this week.
Awesome. Wow. Actually, I'm going to go back and play Yakuza now.
I can't go rewatch those movies.
Though. Too bad.
I'm going to go play with the Lego set.
And we're going to sign off now. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. From myself, from Nick.
Bye.
And Clinton.
Bye, everybody.
We will see you again next week.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.